Everyone who knows me knows that I love a good metaphor to give context and explanation for what happens in our lives. And so today, this is my dream. I'm going to have mixed metaphors. And the first is, you've all familiar with the term ebb and flow, which really helps describe the natural rhythm of life, that things are in constant flux and change. And there are times of success and rise, and there's also times of decline. And organizations are no different. So today's conversation is about how organizations can avoid the slippery slope. Oh boy, there's another one of those metaphors. And do some things based on the work of Jim Collins about principles that you can follow, not only to avoid the slippery slope, but also to turn it around. So come on in, grab a snack, welcome.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
What did you just say?
I just called you Eric because you did something that a good friend and colleague, Eric, used to do all the time. He would put his glasses up on his forehead.
Oh.
And I used to kid him. I said, does that help you see better when they're up on your forehead? So when you did it, I couldn't resist. Oh, boy.
And my glasses, great. They're yellow today.
Hello, Joyce. Good morning.
Well, interesting that you, and hi, everybody. Do come in. Do grab your snack, whatever that might be. And we were just talking about a $40 bag of popcorn. prices are crazy. But interesting that you brought up Eric's name, because he and I did a leadership college session on Jim Collins. And I forget the name of his first book. And I just really think he's great. And then you and I did on August 6th, I think we talked about the assessment of organizations,
yes,
for whether they're on a curve going up or down. And I think I'm doubly, triply interested in this because culturally, we're on that same precipice of possible decline,
yep,
versus renewal. And how on earth to get a world, to get its act together, I don't know. But anyhow, today I was glancing through his book again, because I'm trying to declutter where I have owned two, I'm trying to give one away. And it talks about how to recover when you're on that slippery slope.
Yeah.
So there were a couple companies that did a recovery. One was Nucor and one was Nordstrom's. But anyhow, okay, Here are the steps that they say. Okay, first of all, level 5 leadership, meaning long-term dedication to the culture and becoming kind of with a culture that fits yours. His was egalitarian, no class status culture, everybody flying commercial, making more coffee if you pour the last cup, and minimal office beauty. As a culture, we've got to be tight, focus on what matters, and quit doing doodads. So that's level 5 leadership, which is living the culture you want your company to be. And then the next thing for turning your company around or getting off that slope downward is, in every example, it comes up again. First, who, then what. Get people that fit with the culture. Don't worry so much about skill. You can teach skill, but you can't teach people skill. So assess the person, not their skill level. And then selecting just the right people, creating customized leadership development programs for each and every person. So, and that I've been advising a company recently, and that one thing of they're doing the development, and it's a new young company. And so the kids, the people who are like 35 to 40, can't believe it. Their loyalty and interest, they've never had that kind of individual development. So it's a great one.
Joyce, I have to ask this question. I know that there's more, But as I listen to your list, level five leadership, this sense of, you know, being lean and having a culture that's conducive to like pulling through. And you can delay your response until you get through more of these. But I'm curious, if you're a company that sees themselves down that slope and you're doing all these things, the tendency might be to do them harder. And I'm not sure that that's what he's saying, you know, or is it like making sure that you're disciplined? But I think too often companies will try to do more of that sometimes Correct. Works, but sometimes Right. doesn't.
It is the discipline that is actually embedded in all of these. The discipline
Okay.
to stick what you stand for, to keep, that's why vision matters too, because you're facing everything to align it with that vision. And by the vision, I don't mean everybody's happy. I mean, the business is profitable. People are treated well. It's not a soft result. It's a disciplined result.
Yeah.
Hey, and it's Oy. Amazing. I just referred to eBay in an email as big and clumsy and dumb. You lay off 1,000 people and it's a surprise.
That's not
to me. Big, clumsy,
no bueno.
And dumb. And it's bad. It's bad amputation. Very, yeah, we'll come back to that. So we've talked about the CEO has to live and demonstrate in all kinds of ways the culture that serves the business. And I keep saying, well, what if you're a glamorous business? The point is the customer, not you. And then first, who, what, and that you can train, but you can't make people customer oriented. And the big deal, and this is hard in the U.S., it's hard everywhere. And by the way, I think these are true principles for any declining culture, including ours. They confront the brutal facts. Get real with Nucor. It was about the steel industry, and they were up against China, and they had to employ a very conservative fiscal accounting practice and maintain it. And then there's something new and quit trying to buy small businesses, but to get their discipline. I mean, you've got the key word for all of this, to do what was fiscally appropriate. The other one, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, what I like about that, and you've already mentioned one of these, is when you face the brutal facts, you're looking at what is currently happening with kind of an energy about, and therefore going forward. So if this is our world, what do we do? How many companies that they're going down that slippery slope, and instead of doing that, they kind of comfort themselves by looking in the rearview mirror and kind of saying, hey, we've always been successful. This is what we mean in the marketplace. And so they kind of rationalize themselves into non-action, i.e. Kodak, and a lot of other companies that literally died by 1,000 paper cuts. So the brutal facts, and I can think of personal examples of that in my career, where when we got it like splashed in our face, it kind of was, oh, okay, this is really what's happening here. And what do we need to do as a leadership team or as an organization to face these brutal facts?
Like this Nordstrom, for instance, was, I still think of it, oh, it's so great. It had really gotten kind of shabby, and it took, they were riding on their reputation. L.L. Bean needed to dig in and face brutal facts about, and once again, how that wonderful company could ride on its, you know, reputation instead of facing what they needed to do. So funny how
I agree, but tell me more.
Well, I don't know if I can. The discipline is differently. It's different. It's walking a tough path steadily.
Mm-hmm.
It means exerting force against force.
Yeah.
Training, exhausting, and possible for long term. Push and fail, push and fail, push and fail, instead of a steady, disciplined walk. But anyhow, the other thing is the hedgehog concept for which Jim Collins is famous, which is find your simple concept that drives your business and stay committed to the central idea. Relentlessly on those collective areas where you can attain best in world status and superior economic balance. Clear away everything else. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'll give you a great example of not pushing. And I'm channeling Amos Marrow. You remember Amos? And what I appreciated and appreciate so much about Amos was when confronting a huge challenge, usually the slope, whether it be a store, whether it be a functional area, he'd always say, Bobby, we have to go back to the basics. What are the basics? What are the core of those things that we as a company stand for? So instead of trying to find something grandiose or additive, he'd always come back and say, let's look at kind of the X's and O's of our business to make sure that we're executing against those. And it's sleepy, it's a little bit boring, but it works.
I wrote two articles on that, about how beef when it's dull. One of them. And the other was, I forget, but it was saying the same thing. And so after the hedgehog concept becomes the culture of discipline.
Yeah.
And I often wonder, or I'll say this, check your strategic initiatives. They may be.
Or destroy.
And more than get to basics. So.
Yeah, we have two choices. You can be on a special team that's looking at kind of blazing the new trail, or you could be looking at what we're doing and making sure that we're executing well. Which one do you want?
Yeah, and Nucor emphasized performance, and that performance means they met or exceeded productivity goals without compromising safety or quality, and they received, when they did that, compensation 100 to 200% in excess of their hourly wages. So they really emphasized that basic concept.
Yeah. What I think is a great example about Nucor? And I know I keep interrupting you, so I apologize.
No, you're supposed to interrupt me.
Oh, interruption. Okay, I'm on task. Well, if I think about Nucor, and I think about our last podcast back in August, where you rationalize being on that decline on external factors. Well, look at the steel industry. It would have been so easy to just say, hey, it's all going overseas. We can't match them competitively. No, they literally did the exact opposite. And look at where they are today. They're kind of the darlings of the industry.
Just a bad batch of steel, its members would lose their bonuses. If that reached the customer, they would lose three times that amount. Emphasis crazy.
There's a great example where having the right goal and the right reward or punishment, if you will, is so critical, because if we were measuring on scrap all that steel would have gone to the customer. We'll take our chance, right? Yeah. And we'll hit our scrap goal opposed
top
to
line, bottom line. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great example where, hey, what are you rewarding? What messages are you sending?
And how strict are you on the discipline that gets us a reward?
Yeah. Imagine, not that they'll be happy, but imagine being the customer downstream and you get a call from your rep and saying, we held up the shipment to you. It doesn't meet our standard. We know it's not going to meet your standard. So we apologize, and here's what we're going to do about it. That to me, you're going to win every time with that customer when you say that.
And it sting a little if you
are
the
one stinks.
That created that error.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No,
you know, your basic salary doesn't get hurt, but you don't get any reward.
Yeah.
The next one was the flywheel, not the doom loop. A doom loop. I'm in a doom loop. A doom loop of chronic inconsistency.
Oh, God.
And I think we live in chronic inconsistency right now, culturally, in most of our institutions, especially maybe government most. But if you want what you want is the importance of consistency that builds the cumulative momentum in the flywheel. And just keeps it going. Whatever turn the economy takes, you remain true to the principles that have guided you and don't panic and don't go create another strategic initiative. Used to the thrill of the basics taken to a higher level. I've got to find that article. The other one is clock building, not time telling. So, and that was the Nucor committed to reinvigorating the culture and the organization so that the company sustained recovery would not depend on leadership alone. They kept that whole leadership development and the low on the CEO, who answered, by the way, his own phone, but who said, I'm leading, I'm not God, I'm not important, you're important. And not only that, our systems are important. And then it says, preserve the core, stimulate progress. So Nucor embraced the idea of holding values and principles constant while changing practices and strategies to endlessly adapt to a changing world. You know, that you have to evolve while ensuring that core holds steady. And it's really, if you don't know what that core is and don't have discipline or blend, then you've got that inconsistency and chaos that leaves working people down the chain confused. And we've seen it when things are working. Of working hard and having it go someplace, having it matter, is so intrinsically satisfying instead of working hard and feeling stuck and undervalued. So and in Nucor, was he definitely paying greater attention to taking care of customers, using their demands as a customer as a catalyst for improvement, and creating an internal benchmark mechanism, which they did with their reward or lack of reward. And there are three things where don't overpay, stick to businesses you know, and ensure cultural compatibility if you're going to buy another company. So anyhow, I just wanted to emphasize for me that, and I love that we named Amos.
You know,
but they don't get tangled in your own underwear or something.
Don't get tangled up in your own underwear, which is kind of like saying, don't be out there looking for, you know, the magic bullet or the magic solution. So
all of this takes courage.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking about, if I'm a listener out there, you know, you may be thinking, okay, so if I look at my company, we're doing really well, and everything seems to be going in the right direction. The metrics, customer satisfaction.
Good.
I'm going to say this cycle that you described, it is a constant, meaning that companies will ebb and flow. They'll kind of rise and then they'll go down that, long slope. So it's not a question of, is it going to happen to you? We all have been there and we'll all be there again. And it's, what do you do? What do you go back to?
And how do you learn? I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. How do you learn to see where you are?
Yeah.
And I bring this up because I want listeners to know about Meg Wheatley, who is my idol when it comes to OD work and brilliance. And name of the book that you're reading, I can't remember.
I'm going to hack it, but it's Who We Choose to Be.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Choose to be, which she points out the stages of civilization. And it's the same kind of loop. And we'll be talking more about her work and also hopefully her on to interview, because she doesn't, but we're going to introduce her to the idea, and because she does talk about islands of sanity that can take loop and take action. And Bob and I believe that HROD need to be those islands of sanity in a company.
Nothing more to that. That's brilliance. It kind of sets up not only the challenge to get Meg on, but perhaps more to come on that.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you, everybody.
You know, I've got to eat a little crow. In the intro today, I referred to the expression ebb and flow as a metaphor, and it's not a metaphor, it's an idiom. So for all you English majors out there, I apologize. Consider me on the right track. And speaking of being on the right track, we have a guest next week, John Rennie. He is the CEO, founder of Deep Leadership, which is a consulting practice helping leaders become fully realized in terms of their work and effectiveness. And deep leadership is really a play on words because John spent his career in the Navy as an officer on a submarine. So please join us. It's a great interview. He's got a lot of wonderful insights. And yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun too. So until next week, be well and be safe.